But I want you to take your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to preach something probably you've never heard in your life put this way. And I pray that you'll not think that I'm abusing the Scripture when I do this morning. But I'm just going to give you something I want. How many kids have we got here this morning? Raise your hand. If you're a kid, would you raise your hand? I've got my hand raised. All right. Man, I was coming into the church when they dismissed Sunday school. And there was like just droves of kids headed down to Bible class. And I looked at that and I thought, God, how blessed we are for all these young people that are here. And I pray, oh God, help them to learn from the Bible this morning when they're going down there and help them to get a little more out of the Lord. And so I'm going to preach this morning. Now, I want to tell you, what I'm going to preach is totally an encouraging message. I have no club in my hand. I want to encourage you about the future. I don't know when the Lord's coming back. I was going to preach on the Feast of Trumpets this morning, and that's going to take two Sundays. And the Feast of Trumpets is about two basic things. One is the rapture of the church, and the other is the regathering of Israel. And it's really an interesting study, so I plan on doing that next Sunday. But I don't know when the Lord's coming. And until He comes, there's something I'm concerned about. I've asked God to save every descendant of mine. Karen and I pray that God will save every single descendant of ours. I don't want any grandchildren, great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, if I live that long. I don't want any of my descendants dying and going to hell. Don't want any of yours. But I don't know how long we've got. But if I die, you know, there's something else I've asked God to do. I want God to keep this church going strong till Gabriel blows the trumpet. I want this church to go strong. And I'm going to preach you something today that maybe it will encourage you, give you a little bit better focus about accomplishing that deal. Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11, one of the most well-known stories in the Bible. The Bible said in verse number 11, He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want, and he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, that's a good thing to do. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? It's one of the greatest statements you'll ever read in your life. I will arise and go to Jesus. He will embrace me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. That song came from this verse. I will arise and go to my Father, and will say unto Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before Thee, and am no more worthy to be called Thy son. Make me as one of Thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in Thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called Thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. There is probably no other passage of Scripture in the Bible that has been more of a comfort and a help to people along the way of life. All of us at some point in life get to be a prodigal to some extent. Maybe some farther than another. You can be a prodigal sitting inside church. You can just get away from God and come to church every Sunday. But this passage of Scripture has been preached. One of the reasons this passage of Scripture is so powerful, so well known, because it's a passage of hope for those who've gotten away from God. It's a passage of hope for those who are lost, that they can be saved. It's a passage of hope for anybody who's just gotten out of the will of God, or just circumstances in life hit them so hard they woke up in the ditch and didn't even know how they got there. And yet this passage of Scripture has always been used in giving people hope across the world. It's a masterpiece of literature even outside the Word of God. But I want to take this passage of Scripture and put it in a way that you may have never thought about it before. And I'm going to do something, and I'm not, Lord knows my heart, I do not want to damage this passage of Scripture, and I don't think I will, or wouldn't preach it. But I want to preach this morning as if it were told in a different outcome. If the situation wasn't like you read. And I want you to think about it, if it read like I'm going to tell you, it could have been, or might have been, and will be, if this church doesn't stay strong. I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to be methodical and stay behind the desk and tell you how it might have been different for this young man. I'm going to describe in detail this little story, how it could have been different. I want you to imagine with me this young man who has left his father's house, and he's probably, let's say he's been down at the hog pen now for 3 to 4 or 5 years, and he's been rebellious and he's been stubborn and I will never go back. I'll never go back. I don't care how bad. But one night, the Holy Spirit of God begins to deal with him, and he begins to realize his situation, and he decides what it says there in that passage of Scripture. He came to himself and realized how foolish and stupid it was to lay down here in this hog pen and live this kind of life when he could have something different, even if he was a servant at his father's house. Now, there's one thing this boy always knew in his mind. There was a father's house. There was a father's house. There was a father's farm, actually. If you're taking this context, there was a father's farm. And I want to preach you a message today entitled, Don't Sell the Farm. Or What If Daddy Had Sold the Farm? That's what I want to preach on. What if Daddy had sold the farm? Let's say that it's the middle of the night. He's 3 to 5 years into this thing, and he all of a sudden decides, I'm going to go home. I've had it. I realize what I've done. I realize where I need to be. And he crawls out of that old pigsty and that old hutch, and he gets up and he swings his leg across the woven wire fence with a barb at the bottom and a barb at the top. And his clothes are raggedy and he's filthy and he's dirty. He's probably almost unrecognizable by most of the people that knew him when he left. But down in his heart, the Holy Ghost has done what it talked about in our Sunday school lesson, where the Holy Ghost has ignited light and ignited truth into his heart, and he's decided, I'm going to go home. And he's broken, and he's in a place where God can do something in his life. And so he knocks it. He goes down to his boss's, his employer's house down there, and he knocks on the door. It's way in the night, maybe 1 o'clock in the morning. The boss gets up and says, what do you want? And he says to him, I didn't want to leave without telling you, but I'm going home to my father's house. I'm going home to my father's farm. And I didn't want to leave without telling you. I ran away and left God and left my father's home and farm in a bad state. And I've realized what I've done, and I want to go home to my father's house, my father's farm. And so he leaves there, and he's headed up the road, as I said, dirty and ragged and hungry and lonely. But he's going home, and that thought hits him over and over and again. I'm going home. I'm going home. And the visions of that farm he left and that family he left and those servants that he left begins to really resurface, coming out of the recesses of his mind as to where he used to live and what he used to experience when he was at his father's house. And he walks through the night, and he figures the best he can that if I'll keep moving, I could get there sometime in the morning hours when they're all working about the farm. In the middle of the morning chores, some of them will be maybe milking the cows, and some of them will be feeding the kids, and maybe some of them will be out in the garden, working the garden or picking stuff out of the garden, and maybe some will be out in the field planting, and some will be harvesting maybe. But maybe somebody will be out in the yard mowing dad's grass, and somebody will be taking care of the flower bed in the gardens, and maybe he just imagines all the busyness and all the work going on and the productivity and the joy and the laughter and the life that's in this place that he's headed back to. So he gets to walking. The more he gets to thinking about it, the faster he gets to walking. And man, he's getting excited about getting home and getting back to the father's house, wondering how well he'll be received, but just in his heart knowing that his daddy loves him and there's a place for him. And so he's walking, and pretty soon there's a little bit of that first light in the morning. And then pretty soon there's some rays coming across the eastern sky, and he knows the sun's not far up, and he's beginning to figure how long it is till he gets home. He begins to see some familiar landmarks across the country. I remember old so-and-so's place here, and he remembers that place and so forth years ago. He's getting closer and he's getting closer. And around, he thinks to himself, around this next bend, he said, there's where my daddy's place starts. He said, I know where my daddy's land starts. He comes around the corner there, and he notices right there where the corner post used to be, where his dad's land starts, that something's wrong. He comes to that corner post and that fence, and something doesn't look right. The post is leaning over. It's rotted out on the bottom. The wire is loose. The boards are broken down. They're laying on the ground. He looks on down the road as he's walking. He begins to walk, pick up his pace a little bit. Something doesn't look right. And his fences are down, and he walks faster. He looks over in those beautiful fields where they used to be, and he sees nothing but weeds and briars and brush in the fields. He doesn't see a crop on the place. There's nothing in the fields except brush and briars and weeds. He comes to the lane that turns up to the house, and he goes up through the lane to the house, and there's no sound of any animals. There's quietness where there ought to be joy and laughter and noise. He hears an old door banging with the breeze and the wind. The yard is all grown up. It doesn't look like it's been mowed in maybe 1 or 2 years. The buildings are falling in. Doors are off. The house, the windows are out of the house. The paint is gone. The roof is in bad shape, and there's no servants. There's no one. He doesn't see anybody doing any kind of chores. There's no animals. There's no nothing. There's no crops. There's no gardens. There's no flowers. There's no sounds of life. He runs up to the door and he bangs on the door desperately. Daddy! Daddy! I'm home, Daddy! He begins to holler for his dad, but nobody answers. He runs down to the barn thinking maybe somebody surely is here somewhere. He runs down to the barn and goes, Daddy! Daddy, I'm home! Daddy, I'm home! Daddy, where are you? He hollers for his dad. Everything is abandoned. There is no one around. And there is nothing going on. And just then as he turns, he sees a faded sign laying over in the weeds down in the back, down in the yard toward the road. Bent over in the grass, he sees a sign, farm for sale. And at the top of that sign, it says sold. And he looks at it and says, my God, what happened here? Why would Daddy ever sell this farm? And he looks down there and he sees that. Then he runs over to the cattle barn and he hollers again, Daddy, Daddy. He runs down to the shop, Daddy! And all he hears is an empty echo of an empty farm. He comes back out and he sees someone coming up the lane, and they're walking pretty fast, and they're looking at him strange. A man hollers at him and says, hey, what are you doing up here? He says, I'm looking for my father. This is my father's home. This is my father's farm. This is where I was born and raised. This is my place. This is my family's place. He looks at it and says, It used to be alive with work here, and it used to be a lot of activity, and there were servants, and he had cattle, and he had crops, and he had a beautiful garden, and he had a beautiful flower bed, and his lawn was always cut, and there were people being fed here, and there were feasts, and there was laughter, and there was work going on, and there was harvest, and we planted, and there was food everywhere, and there was fellowship, and we would sing, and we prayed, and we worshiped together as a family. And he said, there was love at this farm. Somebody, he said, used to live here. There used to be life at this farm. And that man looks at him and says, son, don't you know? This farm was sold years ago. And that son dropped his head and wept upon his chest and said, I wanted to come home to the father, but the farm has been sold. And he began to make his way back to the hog pen. I look at this church as a father's farm. You and I are stewards while we're here on this earth. If I compare and illustrate this church as being the father's farm, and you and I being the servants of our father, to make this a place of life, a place of growth, a place for laughter, a place where there's life, a place where there's love, a place where there's births, a place where there's marriages, a place where there's individuals, families. And I think about it. You know something? Listen to me. Among all the people that attend this church, God's been good to us. A lot of our young people are still with us after they get out of high school and after they get married. And a lot of them, if they still live in this area, they come to church here. And what a blessing that is. I'm so grateful to you young couples who have grown up here and maybe were saved here and you grew up in your family here and now you're married and you're having children and you come to church here. Buddy, I want to tell you something. That's an amazing thing. It's a wonderful, sweet, sweet thing. And I've pastored here now about 30 years, and I'll tell you, this has been a place of joy and laughter and life. And I mean, the crops, we've planted the crops, and we watered it, and we've seen things happen, and I'll tell you, it's been a blast. Amen. I have had one time here. But you never know how many of our children may become at some point in their life a prodigal son. And they may need a farm to come home to. And I'm wondering, when the Lord takes me out, will there still be a farm for the prodigals to come to? I'm wondering if some of your grandchildren and some of my grandchildren will get away from God. Will we sell the farm while they're gone? And my message to you this morning is this: don't sell the farm while the prodigals are gone. Amen. You never know when a sinner will come home. You never know when the Holy Spirit may speak to a heart during the night when you and I are not thinking about it, and may say to them, it's time to go home. Those people love you. They'll still be there. There'll be food for you to eat, a bed for you to sleep, and there'll be people to love you and take care of you and love you. I wonder how many people that maybe are not in our immediate families know about this church. They may have driven by this church 1,000 times and they're prodigals this morning. They may be sitting in their house this morning and they're thinking about when they're going to die, and they're thinking about, and the Holy Spirit's working in their home just as much as He, or more than He may work in, here in this church this morning. And somebody you love, some neighbor, and they decide someday. This week I had a man stop and talk to me, and he just got his kids. His wife, his former wife, called him up and said, I'm leaving and I don't want the kids. And if you'll come and get them, I'll sign them over to you. And he went and made the necessary preparations, and he got legal custody of his children. He came in the place where I was at the other day, and he stepped through the door and he started to go on through, and he turned around and he came back and he says, Reggie, I want to talk to you a minute. He started telling me about getting his kids. He's had a lot of trouble, drugs, liquor, you name it. I mean, it's just been a lot of trouble. And he said, any, got any suggestions for me? I've got my kids. I said, yeah. I said, every day of your life, you've got them, you put your arms around them and gather them together. And I said, you pray with those kids. If it's 30 seconds a day, you pray with them. Because you may feed them food and you may give them a house to sleep in, but if you don't give them God, you'll lose them in the end again. He said, you're right. And this is what he said to me. Reggie, he said, what do you think about me coming to church up there? Bringing my kids. I said, we'd be awful glad to have you. He said, you know, my kids need to be in church. And I thought about the times that some of my sons had witnessed to this man. He looked at me and said, you know, it wouldn't hurt me any either, would it? I said, no, it wouldn't. And do you know what God the Holy Ghost is doing? God the Holy Ghost is speaking to an old prodigal out there. And here a while back, one of his aunts visited here at this church. She pulled me aside and she said, I want to thank you for working with my nephew. Said he got a lot of troubles. And you know what I know? I know he's got people that loves him that's praying for him. Amen. And the Holy Spirit of God's dealing with him. And you know what? I thought to myself, what if he would drive up here some Sunday night and we'd sold the farm? What if some of the kids that's growing up around Norwood, Mountain Grove, Kabul, and all across the country here in Mansfield and Ava, They've always heard about Liberty Faith Church and that God was really there. That they did preach the Bible up there, and though they weren't sinless, they loved the Lord and they meant business with God. What if some daddy out there whose children are getting away from him, the school, as he realizes the educational systems of America is stealing his own family, and he decides, I've got to do something. And he comes up here some Sunday, but we've sold the farm. Can I tell you what's happened to churches across the country? They sold the farm while the prodigals were gone. There's been many a young boy came back home and he wanted to go to church back where he went when he was a kid, but he found out, man told me the other night, sitting, he said, Reggie, he said, I'm telling you something, it's hard to find a church to go to where God's at in this country now. And I'm just saying to you this, that my plea and my prayer is this. I know that Jesus said, I will build my church. This church belongs to Jesus Christ. It never was Reg Kelly's church. It never will be my church. And He will build His church. But we are stewards of what God has given us here. And now what I'm wondering today is, I want to talk to you young people. After we're gone, will you sell the farm? Or will they come in here, this church, 20 years from now and 30 years, find us preaching and singing and praising God and worshiping God and living for God and loving God and having laughter and love among us? Will they find the Lord in this house, or will it be a place where Ichabod's written on the door? I want to give you just a couple of three reasons why we ought not sell the farm and we'll go home for eat dinner. Number one is, the farm is a place where sinners can get saved. Amen? The farm was a place where sinners could get saved. This is, if you take that story as a picture of he was lost and now he's found, it's a place where he can come and get saved. And whether you like it or not, the church is a place where sinners can come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and get saved. And then an awful lot of folks get saved when they came to church. And I want to tell you something. We ought not sell the farm because it's a place where sinners can get saved. It's a place for Sunday service. I'm telling you, I was thinking this morning about that passage of Scripture. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go in the house of God. Man, I got out of my truck this morning, seen Brother Messick walking across the yard, and I'd just about kicked my heel up. I said, bless God, there'll be somebody alive there this morning. Amen. I like Bob Chadwell hollering and hooting. Bob, I'm glad you're here, and I think y'all ought to get in gear. Amen. I think you ought to say amen once in a while and bless God Almighty and have yourself a glory fit. You don't want me to preach real long, shout real hard. I'll shut her down and let you have a running spell. Amen. Hey, listen, the church is, hey, how did we get to the jailhouse? Through the church. Do you know what's happened at the jailhouse? The church is over at the jailhouse. The church is the farm where sinners can get saved. Amen. Guys come in Wednesday night. Man, I'll tell you, there's a busting. I had four or five men get saved over there. Got on their knees and asked God to save them over there. I'll tell you, they come in on Wednesday night. Wednesday night's the best service we have. You ought to try it sometime. Amen. I'll tell you something. Listen, it's the place where sinners can get saved. That's why we need not sell the farm. Camp Joy, you can say what you want to, but Camp Joy, Van may be the director, but whether Van, anybody wants to admit or not, we are all part of the church, and it's the work of the, everything God does works through the church, through His people, not a building. Everything God does, He works through the church. You say what you want to, but brother, I'm going to tell you something. I wanted 20 years, man. When you're dead and gone, when I'm dead and gone, will there be somebody who cares about Camp Joy and kids who don't hear the gospel anywhere else? Will you sell the farms? Oh, just sell it down there. Let it go. Oh, just, the church ain't about anything. Sell the place. Let it go. I ain't interested in selling. I want to buy. Amen. We had a little lot, there's a little piece of this property right here, right over here by them trees are, wasn't ours. And I heard one day it was for sale and we bought it. I didn't have a board meeting. We bought her. We bought her quick. I ain't a settling, I'm a buying. Amen. Listen, we ought to be on the go, amen. I'm saying this. How about keeping the fires burning of prayer? I mean, tell you what, let's don't sell that this is a place of prayer. I'll tell you, I've gotten on my knees. I've got more help at these altars. I've had men gather around me and pray for me. I'm saying places where I ought to sing and places where I ought to praise and preach the Word of God. So it's a place where sinners get saved. That guy came home to get right with God. There wasn't anybody there. I wonder 20, 30 years now, will there be anybody here? You know who that's dependent on you kids. That's dependent on you kids. Number two, it's a place where the sheep are fed. Amen. He said, they're going on. He said, they got livestock up there. And he said, they go up there and said, my father's got corn in the bin and the wheat in the bin. And he said, there's grass there and the sheep can get fed at my father's farm. And I wonder 20, 30 years from now, is there going to be any feeding going around here? Somebody going to feed the sheep? Still going to use the authorized version? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't use it, you can't feed them. Ain't no good shepherd feed poison to a flock. I wonder if you do, you can bang around and say, I believe you have an authorized version, but are you studying? Are you preparing? Do you know how, have you got something ready? I'll tell you what, you say what you're onto. Coming up with two messages is better than none. Amen. I'll tell you something. I wouldn't give you much for a shepherd. Just had one coffee can to feed and said, well, that's it. You can't exhaust this book, but you're going to have to get in this Bible. You're going to have to study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Who's going to feed the sheep or are you going to sell the farm? You need milk and you need meat. There's some folks in here needs milk. There's others needs meat to grow by. Number three, we got to run. It's a place where the servants can sow. They get up here on Wednesday night. Hey, we're going to have Wednesday night CD stuff in here. Everybody be here at 5:30. I never do come. I just preach. But you know what? It's give somebody a ministry. Servants are sowing. Oh, somebody's got to meet up here at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, going over to Hartville, the jailhouse, to preach to the prisoners. Somebody's got to sow the seed. Somebody's going to do something about putting on the internet. Somebody's doing something to sow the seed of the Word of God. It's a place where servants can sow. I want to say something this morning. It's Tori and Donna here. Tori and Donna, good morning back there. Did you know that they keep that place down here, that garden tomb area? Isn't that right? Are you the ones doing that? You're doing that. And Amber? And them kids. You know what they do? They go down and clean up this garden tomb area and keep it looking nice. And nobody, they never come to me and said, you never said thank you. We're quitting. Nobody goes around and says, well, you know, they don't ask nobody about this. They're serving, they're sowing, they're working in the vineyard of the Lord. Amen. And do you know what makes this church great? It's because people are willing to work in whatever God gives them to do and don't sweat it if nobody brags on them or pats on them. Amen. Amen. I remember that sorry Kenny James. Oh, Kenny's here. He come in, he's doing some work down there in the gym one day, and I was coaching basketball boys and didn't have no business doing it, but somebody needed to do it. That's right. Say amen when I tell you. Amen. I looked over and I seen Kenny, and it's kind of like the Holy Ghost said, there's your coach. I said, Kenny, why don't you coach these boys? And he said, I'll pray about it. He'd been done more than praying about it. But you know what I mean? He's sowing in the lives of these kids. And you, I mean, I'm just, and these kids, and Dennis Martin, who would ever believe that guy would be in teaching at a Christian school? He looks like a heathen, don't he, with that whiskers and everything? No. And Pam Martin, a converted Catholic. I'll tell you, I'm glad I wasn't a student and you was a nun. She'd have been a mean nun, though, wouldn't she have been a mean nun? Woo! Pam, I love you, and I thank God for you. And oh, my goodness, you know what? How you doing, Sister Pearl? Somebody told me she knocked you down and you cut your head. Is that right? You stumped your toe. Come up here faithful.
Amen.
Now, if you want a picture of faithfulness, somebody ought to write Row of the Faithful right here. My daddy, my mama, and Miss DeGate, she sits right in the middle of the faithful club. I mean, they just work and they just labor and they just keep on keeping on and keep on going. That's what makes this church great. It's servants who'll go out in the field and get out in the garden and get out in the yard and pull the weeds and fix the fence and prop it back up and fix the fence and feed the cattle. That's what makes the Father's farm work around here. And I'll tell you what, with joy and laughter, not walking around saying, you ain't doing as much as I am. I always have to do the dirty work. That's what makes it go around here. Amen. It's the place. Listen, visitation and tracts and preaching. And Brother Adams, he's up preaching at a church this morning. He's been all over the country and up one side and down the other giving people gospel tracts and inviting them to church. And I'm telling you, we're sowing the seed. Amen. This is a seed sowing station. We looked last week at 900 and How many, Mrs. Pitts, wake up. I'm preaching. Would you please? I know you're tired. If I'd have had 17 boys and no girls, I'd be tired of it too. Amen. She's given up on the Lord, hasn't she, Ralph? You don't think so? Okay. Anyway, how many have we sent out CDs? I thought it was nine. How many did I tell you the other night at church? Huh? 500 and some thousand CDs we sent out of this church. That's a lot of seed, amen? Honey, hand me that letter right over there. There's a letter right over there from Polson, Montana. It's in that envelope right there. That big one, that big envelope right there. I want you to listen to this. Listen, this letter right here. It says, we just wanted to send you a note and encouragement. Say thank you for the preaching CD ministry. We wanted you to know that the message recently, Voices in the Cloud, was a true blessing. We've been earnestly praying for God's will to be done in our lives. And we're at a crucial time of needing the Holy Ghost's wisdom and discernment. And if that message was for anybody, it was for us. Sow in the seed of the Word of God. And I'm just saying that, well, there's the reason not to sell the farm is because folks need to get saved. Sheep need to be fed. And brother servants need to sow the seed. And you know what? Over there in somewhere in a place called Congo this morning, there's a young man and a young woman that's got an orphanage over there. And they're preaching the Word of God and teaching the Word of God named Nathan and Coco. And we're sending missionaries out. I'm telling you this morning, listen. Oh, what if Nathan and Coco got an email today? They sold the farm. The church is shut down. What if the missionaries that we support around the world got an email, got a letter, but if they sold the farm out? What if they came back tonight in the packs, drove in the driveway, and nobody's here, and the weeds grown up in the parking lot, and the windows out of the doors? I'm just saying this to you. Listen, I got to go. I'll say this to you. If it's left up to you this morning, hey, young people, are you listening to? If it's left up to you, will the farm be sold? If it's left up to you, will your vehicle be in the parking lot Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? If it's left up to you, will the pew have somebody in it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? Will the Bible be open on your lap and be read by you? If it's left up to you, will your voice be heard in the singing? If it's left up to you, will your knee be bowed in prayer? If it's left up to you, will your hand be offered in help? And if it's left up to you, will your feet be available to go, or will you sell the farm? Be careful. I'm going to tell you some reasons people sell farms. Number one, a lot of farms are sold off one small piece at a time. Now, you listen to me. A lot of farms are just sold off a little bit at a time. If you're not careful, young people, you'll sell your farm of faith out just one little piece at a time. First thing you know, there won't be anything left by the time you get to be 40. Second of all, a lot of farms are sold for a lot less than they're worth. Number three, a lot of farms are sold without realizing their future value. My wife, Karen, tell you this little story. It's true. My father-in-law, Jim, he had a little farm down there on the end highway. And she said when she was a girl, honey, how old were you when they bought the farm up north of town? Probably 12. Huh? Probably fourth grade, and she told me, she says, Reggie, I can remember my mom and daddy talking about, it was 50-acre farm out there north of Mountain Grove, and said, I can remember my mom and dad talking about it. I think it was $25,000 at that time, and 50 acres right out there north of town, and they were talking about, boy, they didn't know if they could pay for that or not, didn't know whether they ought to do that or not. There's an awful lot of money for that place, if I remember right. Am I wrong? I think your daddy told me this, so I'll just, if I'm wrong, you take it up with him. But anyway, I remember that they were really discussed about something. But anyway, if I remember the story right, they bought that farm for $25,000. They went up there and he fixed that old house, had a great big old house, and it had been all abandoned. It was just an awful mess. And they took brick and fixed it all up, and that's where she lived when I met her. And they had all the rooms for all them 8 kids. And I went up there in a great big old living room, I mean, a dining room deal there. And that's where they raised that family. They got done raising that family. One day, Jim was working out there years and years and years and years later, and some old boy drove up in a pickup, or drove up and beside him there and said, you know who owns this place? Jim looked at him and says, I guess me and my wife do. And it turned out this in Walmart. That 50 acres is part of where you know Walmart at Mountain Grove now. Sometimes when people sell farms, they don't know the value of what they're selling. Are you listening to me? the future worth of what it will be. You listen, when he bought it, it probably wasn't. Maybe, you know, in order to get something bought, you usually got to give more than anybody else wants to. You got that figured out? Hey, I want to tell you something. When you buy your house, they're going to tell you it's high, too high. Yeah, it's too high. That's how come you got it. You had to give more than anybody else. But the fact of it is that most real estate that people thought was high, 25 years later, looks mighty cheap. And 25 years later, it looked mighty cheap for that 50 acres up there north of the four lane. Are you listening to me? Now, I'm using that for an illustration to tell you this. We will never know the value of this farm till eternity. We will never know the value of this farm till we step into eternity. Number five, a lot of farms are sold because the stewards of it are weary. They're tired. Some sold because they're discouraged. Let me tell you a story. In the 50s, many people sold the farms here in Missouri and moved to California. Some of them did great, and I'm glad for them, but a lot of them didn't. And a lot of those that did great lost their families to a world of sin. And there's a lot of old hillbillies just stayed here and scratched her out. You listen to me? Now listen to this. But many farms are sold because the generation after them does not want the farm. I'm going to ask you something. Do you want the farm? And some farms are sold because the folks who own it are just too stinking lazy to work it. You say, Reggie, I don't tend to sell the farm. I hope that's true. But let me say something to you. You can sell her off a piece at a time when you miss the services. Not being mean to you, just telling you the truth. You're just selling off a piece at a time. You're selling the farm when you won't read your Bible and meditate. Now, I want to tell you something. I'm not talking about this spot of ground necessarily, because the church is a body of believers. And you start selling your farm out when you quit reading your Bible. You quit meditating on the Word of God. You'll sell your farm out when you quit serving here at the church and working and offering to do and serve the Lord. Let me tell you, you ain't going to be happy in Jesus till you find yourself serving God. You sell the farm out when you quit caring about people's souls and when you quit praying, when you quit witnessing, when you get overcome with discouragement. And you sell your farm out when you won't forgive people. And you sell the farm out when you let your love grow cold. Over in the Old Testament, there's a man by the name of Naboth, and God had given him a piece of ground. When the children of Israel went in, God said, all right, you divide that up, every man under his own vineyard. God says, I believe in private land ownership. God is not a socialist. Okay? And God told him, said, the land's really my land, but I'm giving it to you spiritually. But don't you ever sell that land. Don't you ever, ever sell that land. And one day there's a king named Ahab, and he had a wicked wife in the world named Jezebel. And Ahab had a little vineyard there next to Ahab's house, and boy, it was pretty. He took good care of it. He was a good steward of it and had some children. They liked to go out there and play and run among the vines, and they had a good time. And one day Ahab said to Naboth, he said, tell me what you take for your vineyard. He said, just buy it from you. And Naboth said, I appreciate the offer, king, but he said, God told me I could never sell it, and I love this place. He said, my forefathers farmed it and plowed it and picked it and planted it. Man, I'm not a selling this farm. I couldn't sell this farm. I appreciate you offering it, but it's not for sale. No, Jezebel had a fit and she lied on him and took him to court and they stoned him to death and she stole the farm. And you listen to me, people have to die sometimes to keep the farm from being sold. But I like old Naboth. You know, because here's a famous, one of the greatest statements you've ever heard in your life. He said to King Naboth, I will not sell my vineyard! I want to ask you today, will you sell your vineyard? You know what happened to preachers all over this country? They sold this Bible out. They sold everything in the world out. I was at a place, I want to say to Sister Delia, where are you at? I want to tell you I appreciate you. You took a stand the other night, and I want to tell you I appreciate it. It meant more to me than you know. I was in a place, and there's some wicked, hellish music being played. Not the men. I expect that at a bar. I didn't know hardly what to do. You know, it wasn't our place. So I decided I'd make an appeal. Boy, I'll tell you what, if we didn't catch a fire, we cut the fire. We set the foxes' tails on fire. But you know what? I'm going to cut this all short and just say this, that people, you know why they got rock and roll music in these churches? Because they sold the farm. You know why they got different Bibles? They sold the farm. You know why worldliness is saturating our churches? Because they sold the farm out. And I'm just saying this here. Old Naboth said, I ain't got no right to sell it, and you don't have a right to sell it. And I wonder, ask you this question. When your descendants are looking for a father's house to come home to in the future, will they find it here? Because you stayed, you cared, you worked, you prayed, you gave, you witnessed, and you stayed with the farm. Will you like Naboth this morning? You see, I pray for Nathan and Coco. You see, it's not where you're at. It's what you're doing where you're at. They're not here. They're in Congo. But I pray they'll not sell the farm. You see, it's not where you're at. It's what you're doing where you're at. And we don't need to be selling the farm out while they're away. I want to feel this morning will say, I'm not going to sell the farm. God be my helper when, Reggie, when I'm your age, there'll be a place to come to. There'll be a church here where folks and prodigal sons can come home and not walk up here. Wouldn't it be amazing? I'm just thinking, I just run through my mind before it cut church up. Man, what would this parking lot look like all growed up weeds? It'd do it too. Oh, Isaac, doesn't Isaac do a good job mowing the yard? He makes it look like a golf course, don't he? I drive by and man, that tomb looks good. And the yard looks good. You know what it says to you? Somebody lives there. Yeah. And folks walk in that church house, they need to hear you singing. Amen. They don't need to act like we just sold the farm. We ain't got nothing to sing about. Man, they need to hear preaching. They need to hear praying. They need to hear the word of God. They need to know the farm's not being sold. Wouldn't it be bad, Frankie, to drive up here? I'll tell you what, me and you go to heaven and come back. We'll come back and haunt them, won't we, Frankie? We come down here and the wind is out of these doors and the paint peeled off the thing and the tin the flapping in the wind here and sprouts growed up in the yard and out here we have 2,000, 3,000 people on 4th of July and y'all ain't doing nothing but having a barbecue in the back end of your pickups and drinking beer and watching the Super Bowl. I tell you, me and Frankie, y'all beat the devil out of you. Don't sell the farm, Elijah! You going to sell her? No, sir. You going to sell the farm? You going to sell the farm? Amen. You kids going to sell the farm? You ask yourself. I'm going to tell you something. I found out something 10 years ago goes by fast. 20 years goes by fast. And I'm like, I'm 58. 20 more years, I'll be 78. Is such a thing possible? And I think to myself, I could be out of here tomorrow. And you know what? Till the trumpet sounds, I want this church. I want this church. There will never be no sold sign for sale on this church. Amen. I want the lawn mowed. I mean, I want the grass green. I want the nails driven. And I want the gospel preached. And I want the singing. I want the singing. I mean singing. Some of you so backslid. I'm so mad at some of you. Only you're a wonderful person, but you won't sing. Yeah. Amen. I have you. I'll tell you what, I like to have a goat here about two Sundays ago. I looked up here and there was women from here to there. There wasn't a woman from here to there. And I'll tell you, just a thin line of men. I about rolled that pulpit over and jumped on top of that communion table and said, this is it! Ain't going to be no more of this backslidden messed up around here. Listen. Your kids is going to need a church that's got the life of God in it. Amen. All right, now I'm going to ask a question. I'm going to go on with the Lord one of these days. I may still be preaching here when I'm 87. I don't know. But one of these days, I'm going home. I want to ask you young people, how many young people say, Brother Kelly, I don't know about the rest of the kids here, but I ain't selling the farm out. I'll do what I can to keep this place going. And I'm not talking about a dead shell. I'm talking about life in it, because I'll be praying and reading my Bible. I work. I do what I can to win people to Christ. I get up there and sing. I'll make it go if it's God being my helper. If you're a young person here today like that and you say, I'll tell you what, Reggie, there may be some prodigals out there. They're going to be a farm for them to come home to. Would you stand this morning? Would you stand? I'm talking about young 30 and unders. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. I'm going to tell you kids something. We need you. We need you bad. We need you to get serious. Here's what I want you to have. A serious joyfulness about serving God. I mean, you're just happy as a pig in slop that you're able to serve God. But you mean business about it. I mean, to tell you what you tell your spouse, when you and that sweetie's talking real sweet about getting married, you say, wait just a minute. We will be in church. You need to know something about me. We're going to be in church. And if we ain't going to be in church, we just will stop this thing right here. We're not going to sell the farm out. Well, how many of you fathers and mothers and grandpas would encourage them about not selling out the farm? And you say, I'll tell you what I believe I'll do, Reggie. I'll take that for sale sign down. We're just going to keep the farm. Would you stand with them? We're just going to keep the farm. We're just going to keep the farm. Amen. Makes me sick, Frankie, to think that somebody might drive up the driveway someday and weeds growing in the parking lot. Oh, I can't hardly stand it. Makes me sick to think the door's busted out in the windows and the tins are flopping on the side of the building. Make me sick to think Sunday morning about 9:45, let's get your songbook and let's sing. 9:45 and they're just a breeze blowing through here, flapping the stuff on the side. Wouldn't that be sick, Dean? Yeah. Dean, after all the Sundays we've spent here, and our kids sell the farm on us? Yeah. They'd be a licking when they got there. First thing happened to you, get a whooping when you get to heaven. Amen. I love y'all. That's what God gave me to preach to you this morning. Amen. So let's don't sell the farm, all right? Let's keep loving the Lord, serving God. Now, if you'll turn around and have a quick word of prayer with somebody before you can go home, and we'll eat dinner. And you just ask God, Lord, when I get tired and weary and worn out and I feel like selling the farm, help me just go put another foot out. Would you do that? Have a word of prayer with somebody today.